Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone lines and talk with Doug Adler, who's with Raymond James of East Lansing. Doug, how are you?
Hey, Tony. Good morning.
All right. Normally, we wouldn't call a guest this early, but Doug has a young a baby at home, so I knew he's probably up anyway.
Thanks for thinking of me first.
I owe you big time. Doug, I knew I needed, I'd be calling you because late last night I was watching Fox News and they were covering the story of the J.P. Morgan $2 billion blunder as its title in the top fold of this morning's Wall Street Journal. Just listening to this story and how that company's CEO had a phone conference call. Here's a company that just kind of blindsided us with this news.
And you know, it's never good because, let me preface that a little bit more. It's never good when you come out of a crisis, the last one caused by things like they're talking about yesterday, credit default swaps, which is what J.P. Morgan got in trouble with. Coming out of the financial crisis, we have that problem. You're hoping that that kind of stuff is, you know, behind you, so to speak, and then boom, from nowhere, a $2 billion hit, as you say. Yeah, it's scary. So the question becomes, probably for most investors, this is the market's reaction initially for sure, is, well, who else has problems? How many more problems does J.P. Morgan have? Nobody knows.
Now, J.P. Morgan survived the financial crisis that we had the government to bail out so many other companies, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, they have a CEO that is widely regarded, highly respected. They've been probably the strongest hand of the major banks, certainly from a perception standpoint, if nothing else, over the last few years. The CEO's, candid. Wall Street likes that. Investors like that when they feel like they're being told the truth, and then this happens. So here's the crazy thing. This is the thing that bothers me about it, Tony, is it really, when we came through the back end of, 2009 meltdown, you never really saw, from a regulatory standpoint, we passed the Dodd-Frank bill, which is the banking bill, you never really saw anything that spoke directly to what's going on right here, which is this CDO, credit default book. The stuff is just, it's synthetic, okay? It's not like a real investment. If you go buy a house today, that's tangible. You own it. It's real. These investments are synthetic, and what that means is they're kind of, here's what J.P. Morgan did in effect, as I understand it. They've got a big commercial loan portfolio. Now, as a bank, they don't want that risk of that portfolio, so they push it out into what's called a CDO, which is a collateralized debt obligation. And then that invests in what's called a basket of credit default swaps. And credit default swaps are insurance back against those commercial loan portfolios. It gets convoluted, as you can tell, and it's a lot more intricacy to it than what I just described. And what ultimately happens is nobody really knows what the exposure is, how much risk is built into these things across the entire financial system. Nobody really knows. And what happens is these banks or investors will try to model what the risk is. The problem is the world doesn't exactly do what the model says it might do. And when that happens, boom, and here you are, $2 billion, and there may be more.
Is this something a company like J.P. Morgan should avoid, this credit default swap?
You know, that's a good question. The answer, I think, is probably no, but it should be more transparent. You know, if I own a million shares of General Motors, let's say, that's going to be disclosed. If I have $1 million in credit default swaps, nobody knows. And that's where the problem is. You don't know what the exposure is. This is kind of what happened with AIG, one of the front and center institutions during the crisis in 2008-2009, is they had issued so much of these credit default swaps, Tony, that when the dominoes started to hit, Bear Stearns and then Lehman Brothers and mortgages and all this other stuff, and that's what it was all about, was this mortgage stuff. I shouldn't say all about, but a lot of it was. All of a sudden, the dominoes started to trip, and they were having, if you will, claims across the portfolio, and you get to the point where the claims exceed what your capacity is to pay, and you default. And then if you default, the guy who bought the insurance, guess what happens to him? He doesn't get paid. So it's just it's a vicious cycle, but they're a great tool. I mean, here's the other side of this, is you want a bank or some institution to be able to dilute the risk. You know, let's just say a bank, I'm a banker, and I have a $1 million mortgage with a certain individual, and I'm not really comfortable with that. So I want to be able to talk to Tony, the banker, and my wife, who's a banker, and my neighbor, who's a banker, and get them to take some of that loan, you know, a syndicate, if you will, to dilute the risk. That's a good thing to do. There's no question about it. It's actually prudent. It's just when it gets involved like these get, and the leverage that gets built into these, that's where the problem is. Leverage is always the killer, and I think that's what's happening here.
Doug, do you think JP was hiding this and trying to fix it before they had to go public?
It looks that way a little bit, only because they came out, the initial headline was $800 million dollar loss. And then, as you said, Tony, we ended up with, you know, $2 billion. And they had sold other assets that had appreciated to offset the $2 billion loss. They recognized $1.2 billion in profit. So, yeah, probably a little bit. But, you know, every company does that. They try to, you know, if you have you make one mistake on the one side and you do something smart, like make $1.2 billion on the other side, yeah, you marry those and try to dilute your loss a little bit. That's smart. So, I don't know. I mean, they're not proud, but their CEO, I think, had a great line, and this is why people respect him. Came out at the end of the day and said, hey, look, you know, the question was what you're talking about, or wondering about, Tony, is, you know, what else is out there? Who else has done this? And he had a great line in that interview you referenced, and he said, and just because we're stupid doesn't mean everybody else is.
Well, he is quoted, it's right on the front page, top fold of this morning's Wall Street Journal. He says, this trade doesn't violate the Volcker rule, but it violates the Demon principle. What does that mean?
I don't know the answer to that. Mm. That may just be acting, you know, good faith. I don't know, as a fiduciary, perhaps he feels like they violated their fiduciary role. You know, there's a lot of things you can do that are technically not legal or not illegal, but they really don't fit the role as a fiduciary, if you will, to your shareholders, and perhaps that's what he's referencing.
Well, what's this going to do to the market from your perspective?
Yeah, it looked ugly early last night. The immediate reaction, as you might expect, was quite negative. Now we've kind of rallied back a bit. The Dow futures, so this is a pre-market indication of where we would open if we opened right now at 9:30. The numbers would be 50 points to the downside in the Dow and about 7 in the S&P 500. The key is the S&P has been trying to hold this 1340, 1350 area. That's the price level. And this could kind of push us through that. And it'll be interesting to see if some sellers come out of the woodwork or the value shoppers are going to come in and look to buy lower prices, because the market's had a rough go here the last 10 days or so.
All right, Doug, final question for you. There is speculation that the leadership in Greece is going to make some changes that may cause them to dump the euro and renege on the promises that they had made, the austerity measures, if you will, to try and get their financial house in order. What's that mean for us here in the United States and even in Michigan?
If it happens in Greece and it stays contained to Greece, probably not a lot. The risk, of course, is if they go rogue, if you will, then the dominoes start to tip. And this is where you've heard the chatter about Spain and Italy not being particularly in a strong fiscal position, either financial position either. So we'll have to see. It's going to be bad news for the Greek people, unfortunately, either way. The austerity measures are, you know, quite extreme there. And at the same time, if they bolt on the euro, it's going to be wildly inflationary.
All right. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate you.
See you, Tony.